The following podcast is for information purposes only and is not suitable for retail investors.
Hello and welcome to this week's Chart of the Week podcast. Today is Thursday, the 16th of February, and I'm once again joined by Lorenzo Laposta. Now, this week, Lorenzo and I were talking about the surprise reopening of China and its economy. Now, I've heard this being described as the biggest economic event of 2023, which, given that we're only halfway through February, I think is quite a bold call. But Lorenzo, why don't you kick us off by talking about why exactly China reopening is such a big deal?
Hello, Ben. And as always, thank you very much for having me and for minding my opinions for the matter, actually. The Chinese reopening is definitely going to be, it is already an important driver in markets. Now, I don't know if it's going to be the biggest event in 2023, but I guess we'll judge in a bit more than 10 months' time. It's significant under so many aspects. You know, China was the first country to report a COVID case in January 2020, and I can't believe it's been already 3 years. You know, to me, it only feels like yesterday that happened. But anyway, they were the first ones to report some cases, but then as the world went into lockdowns, China seemed to be out of COVID, sooner actually. After a month or two, things felt kind of got back a bit back to normal. But actually, they never quite went through a heavy COVID problem. And as a consequence, they never really went out of the pandemic like we did. Whilst we had a few months of lockdowns followed by vaccines and then a recovery, China was very sluggish of vaccinating people and eventually ended up forcing extended lockdowns for as long as 3 years, actually, especially over the last 12 or 18 months, where the government pushed this zero COVID policy that forced people home a lot longer than anywhere else. And it's been a massive problem for the economic activity in the country and for global supply chains as well. Obviously, China is a very significant part of the production chain. This surprise news that just came at the end of October, that China actually was dropping most, if not all, of the restrictions, obviously was a massive change in sentiment.
Okay, so I don't think we can talk about an event of this size and importance without maybe mentioning the event that drove markets largely in 2022, which was, of course, inflation. With China reopening, we can expect a pretty sizable wave of pent-up demand thanks to excess savings over the past 3 years of lockdown, as you mentioned. I think estimates so far put the figure close to what the US figure was when they reopened, which is about $2 trillion. Now, this pent-up demand could be good for growth, but it was also pent-up demand that helped drive inflation last year. And we've seen with the CPI print earlier just this week at 6.4% that the US hasn't quite got inflation under control, even if it is trending downwards. Can we, not assume that with this huge release of pent-up demand, there's maybe going to be a resurgence in inflation globally?
Well, I guess it's a fair concern. I guess we should distinguish between something that is slightly inflationary, and something that is problematically inflationary. Now, today and this year, we have a very different situation than what we had in 2022. As the US and the West went out of pandemic and started releasing pent-up demand that was accumulated during the pandemic, China was actually locked down still. Many factories were shut. We had massive supply chain problems. The supply was not enough to satisfy the huge demand that was coming. And that was the cause of inflation in the first place. So it was a very vulnerable economics last year. Today, it's not quite the same because now China is reopened. And factories are open. There is not any significant supply chain pressure out there. The Fed have a supply chain pressure index, and that is down 78% since their peak in last year. And the cost of shipping, for example, between the US and China is down more than 90% from its peak. So suppliers are in a much better position to handle a wave of demand, and that should make us feel comfortable that inflation should not be a consequence of the Chinese reopening, at least not a worrisome inflation.
That's a good point. I mean, we can definitely assume that global supply chains will be more resilient against any shocks that might come this year. But I think we should also look at another driver of inflation, of last year's inflation, that is, which was soaring commodity prices, you know, whether it was lumber or copper or natural gas. Commodities were the standout performers in terms of asset classes last year as global demand recovered after COVID. And that wasn't entirely because of supply chain issues, but it was also problems with supply capacity. You know, these supplies couldn't keep up with the global demand. And since then, we have seen falls in the prices of these commodities, but that's largely come from whether it's central banks deflating demand by hiking rates or just higher expectations of a recession. It hasn't really come down because of improvements to production capacity. You not assume that with another sudden wave of demand, this would once again overwhelm suppliers and commodity prices would rise again?
Well, that's also a fair concern. Now, commodities are a very wide selection of materials, and you know, you've got your energy commodities, your agricultural, your industrial ones, and they all behave in a different way. Last year, the surprise war between Ukraine and Russia was a very big problem for a couple of things, for energy, in particular natural gas, and also grains coming all the way from Ukraine. Whilst the second was, a bigger problem for consumers. The first was a very widespread problem across all industries, and it's also affected the price of other commodities, simply because extracting metals was more expensive because the energy was more expensive. So, that's obviously, the war is still ongoing, but countries have found alternatives to supply energy at lower prices and building resilience. And today, energy prices are down some 75% when looking at natural gas, for example. Despite the war, it's still going on, unfortunately. So obviously an increasing economic activity coming from the reopening in China would be putting some pressure on certain metals, for example, certain commodities in general. But there is two things to keep in mind. One is that the reopening is already something well expected by markets, and commodity prices would have moved already to some extent to incorporate that. But also the lower energy prices should be a very strong positive for, should be putting less pressure on commodity prices, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true that last year was a storm, a perfect storm of events that hopefully we won't see a repeat of this year. Now, one of the big responses to the inflationary crisis last year was the Fed, and was how the Fed and other central banks responded to the issue. How do you think central banks will be assessing the current situation in terms of China reopening?
Well, the Fed at least will be very data driven, as they have been so far, and they will be watching closely CPI prints, and to check whether it's going towards comfortable levels or not, and how fast it's moving. There is many factors to, trade off. The Chinese reopening is helping up on reducing recession probabilities. We've seen PMIs ticking up substantially across the board. You know, Fed has always stressed the importance of first and foremost bringing inflation under control. If this improved growth prospect is a boost to inflation, then we might expect, less cuts, for those that expect interest rate cuts actually on the horizon. Certainly higher interest rate expectations, you know, move the economy, avoiding a recession, but avoiding excessive inflation, and still having a decent economic growth. So good luck to them.
Well, Lorenzo, whether this does turn out to be the economic event of 2023 or not, it has, as always, been fascinating to discuss it with you. And thank you, as always, for the insights. Looking forward to talking next week.
Thank you very much, Ben.
For professional advisors only, the views expressed are those of Momentum Global Investment Management at the time of recording and are subject to change without notice. Momentum Global Investment Management has used all reasonable efforts to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this communication, but we cannot guarantee the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of the content. This podcast is for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell. Momentum Global Investment Management, company registration number 3733094, has its registered office at the Rex Building, 62 Queen Street, London, EC4R1EB. Momentum Global Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom, registration number 232357, and is exempt from the requirements of Section 7(1) of the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act 37 of 2002 in South Africa, in terms of the FSCA FAIS Notice 141 of 2021, published on the 15th of December 2021. For complaints relating to Momentum Global Investment Management's financial services, please contact distribution services at momentum.co.uk. Your capital is at risk.